Welcome to the Generation Iron Podcast, featuring the biggest names in bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports world.
If you want to be a bodybuilding champion, it takes hours and hours every day of being dedicated and being passionate about it.
How's your boy here, Kai Green, a.k.a. Mr. Getting It Done?
Yeah, buddy!
Tune in to the GI Exclusives on the Generation Iron Airwaves.
What's up, GI Nation? This is Vlad, and we are back to the new episode of the Generation Iron Podcast. Today's guest is somebody who is a legend, considered to be a legend in a sport of natural bodybuilding, specifically natural bodybuilding. He's been competing for many years, and he won some of the top accolades of the sport. He competed in the PMBA, IMBA divisions for many years. And we first met when we were making a film, which actually became our most controversial film for whatever reason, Generation Iron Eddie for Life. And this gentleman was a competitor who was thinking about actually retiring. And he joined the competition, the Natural Olympia, and he ended up winning the whole thing. And he actually beat out people that were more favored than him to win. So it's an incredible story. And today we're going to talk about a lot of things. Of course, the career, his career as a promoter, as a bodybuilder, and really what's the future of natural bodybuilding and how can he and others like him make its sport better. So today I'm very, very happy to talk to Philip Ricardo Jr. Nice shirt, brother.
I got the Generation 9 shirt.
Hey, you know.
Had to represent for this.
Nice. Good to see you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been about a year or so.
Yeah. Congrats on your success, man.
I've been busy.
Congrats on all your success on competing and everything.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, last year wasn't what I really wanted it to be, so I need to just get better, But things still happen, great, but I know I can do better and just living the dream and just kind of just trying to improve every day,
Now, you got a big show coming up, the one you're promoting, right? It's called Philip Ricardo Legends Show International, correct?
That's correct. That's this right here.
There you go.
Legends Classic. Yep. So it's,
you're not competing, obviously. You're the one that's been organizing that show, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm promoting it. It's I think my eighth year. I've been doing it since 2014. Mm-hmm. And it's a pro-ams. It's professionals, amateurs. This show is going to be pretty cool because I actually have a lot of people that, have been, the top natural people. I got, Rebecca Rassi's in. She's like the Bikini Divas, Mr. America. She won that last year. She actually won the, my show last year as well. She won the Natural Olympia for Bikini Divas Masters. She's been going up against another lady that's pretty good too, Kelly Valpo. She won the, evening gown for the pro division from Natural Olympia. I've got Sherry Bingham. She's a Natural Olympia former figure champion, and she's won a lot of pro shows, in her time. And so it's going to be pretty big. Some judges. I'm going to have Derek Joe, who won the Classic Physique out there as a test judge for me. Anthony Bowden will be my head judge. His wife, Danielle Bowden, she won the sports model. So, yeah, it's going to be a big show. Mark Torello, who is a promoter for Mr. America, Jenny Badoglio, a lot of people are going to be there. So I'm excited.
And where does it take place again?
So it's going to be in Dumfries, Virginia. So it's going to be at a church I actually go to, Potomac Valley Church in Dumfries, Virginia on April 30th.
Now, I know you're a religious man, right?
Yes, sir.
You definitely
yes, sir. Jesus is my Lord, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great, man. Now, did that ever... being religious, right? Being a man of faith. Did that ever conflict with you being a bodybuilder? In different aspects, but I'm saying, were you ever conflicted choosing between bodybuilding and faith?
I came to faith later on in my life. So everything before that already kind of set a bad path.
You there? Hey, I can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry. Maybe I could try to go to a different location. Are you good?
No, I think, did you get a call or something? I think sometimes that messes it up. Did you get a call?
Oh, I had a text message. That might have
Okay, that's probably what it is.
Okay,
but you were saying, yeah, you were saying that you did a lot of stuff before, you know, I guess talk about the have you ever been conflicted being a bodybuilder and being a man of faith?
Yeah, it's always going to be a conflict because I think, you know, our sinful nature, my sinful nature, especially built up from all the years younger, being a Marine and, you know, just doing all the things, every sin you can commit, whether it's drinking, adultery, you know, I did all those things, unfortunately. And it wasn't until I came to faith and started reading the Bible and learning about Jesus and, you know, his sacrifice for me, where I really started to see my sinful nature and had to repent for it, knowing that he forgave me because of what he did for me. And I had to slowly change. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, anything, just like when you work out, your body's not going to change until you put in the work and get to know your body and get to know what it takes to do it. Same thing when it comes to my faith in Christ and reading the Bible and learning what it really meant to change my life. So I had to do a whole 180. So the things that I did, I was successful before I knew God, but it was a different type. It's very selfish. So as I became stronger in my faith and following God and Jesus, I really began to be less selfish, do it for different reasons. So the conflict obviously is when, like me being successful in the sport, building a brand and name and all that, I had to make sure I wasn't becoming conceited and prideful and using it for negative ways. And I've had to turn this thing into glorifying God with my success, making sure that I mention him and everything, because it's not me that's doing it. It's him giving me a gift of a blessing to do this and the sacrifice that he did to make sure that, you know, even though I'm a flawed person, I still have something that I can do that I can showcase to the world. And I also want to be an ambassador. You know, there's a lot of people that, not saying that religion is the main thing that makes this happen, but I truly believe that my faith in Jesus and the way he was allows me to be a better person and give back to others and just be open-minded. If someone comes and wants to talk to me, I'm not going to turn them away because I used to be that person. And I know that I want to be someone that's showing love to every single person I come in contact with.
No, absolutely, man. A lot of people that are going to watch this kind of like, you know, amateur bodybuilders, they want to become professional. How does one become, and especially naturally, right? How do you become a professional competing naturally? What's the route to take? I know you obviously you with PMBA, right? Like, how do you people get into that organization?
Right. So the main thing is you just got to find a show. The main thing, I think, for an amateur, if they want to aspire to become a pro, find a show that's a national qualifier and a pro qualifier. The IMBA has a lot of shows where there's mainly amateur shows. It's the bigger shows like my show, the Team USA, Universal, those shows. Obviously, you can have an amateur and a pro division. So you find that division and you compete in the open class. And if you win that class, as long as you're not just one person, you know, then you're going to qualify to get that pro card. You know, and the thing is, I hear a lot in the bodybuilding realm, especially some of the different federations, they feel like it's watered down because of the fact that some competitors can go and get a pro card in a very small show and may not be ready to become a pro. But as we saw from Adrian Petraeo, that who was in Generation Iron 4, obviously United for Life, he had a pro card for a while before he pulled the trigger to turn into pros. Yeah. So it really gives that person, even if you get a pro card, you can make that decision whether you feel you're ready or not, to put your hat in the ring and say, hey, I'm a pro now. I'm ready to hit the stage against some of the best in the world. But there is that opportunity. There are a lot of opportunities there to turn pro.
Is it how competitive is it getting a pro card in a PMBA in a natty
organization? Yeah, it depends on the show. Like my show isn't a very large show, but we do have a lot of great competitors, natural bodybuilders and figure bikini, etc., that come out to these shows. And to be honest with you, a lot of the ones that placed well and turned pro in my show went on to compete at either the Natural Universe and Natural Olympia and placed very well, top five, some have even won. So, you know, I think we turn out a lot of great competitors. There's a lot of great talent out here on the East Coast. Obviously, the West Coast is where the majority of the IMBA, PMBA shows are, some in the Midwest as well. But, yeah, we turn out some great amateurs that turn pro that are able to place well in the top world championship level caliber shows.
Now, you yourself, how many Natural Olympias have you won over the years?
So I have won four in the open class. I also won the Masters division in 2019. and I won the Grand Masters last year. So a total of, you know, six titles, but, you know, people probably more worried about the pro, you know, Open Pro, which I won four times in 2007, 8, 15, and 19.
What are some of the prizes that you collected? I know they give out the bike, I think, right? Except there was some cool stuff that were giving out. What's some of the prizes that you won?
Yes, I won the bike last year. They've been giving away the bike, I believe, for the last 4 or 5 years. Before that, they were giving away a car. It was a smaller car. And they gave that away since, I believe, 2010 up to, like, 2016, 17. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the cash prizes, they really elevated their prize money the last few years. You know, there's some divisions, depending on whichever pro division is the largest one, sure, they get anywhere up to $10,000. When I won the Natural Olympia in 2019, I had actually won, you know, what was it, $8,500, which is pretty big prize, you know. So I was definitely have won the most cash and prizes with the IMBA, PNBA, along with, you know, sponsorships and the opportunities to be, obviously, with Generation Iron, Ironman Magazine, things like that. So, you know, being a pro and being in this federation definitely has its privileges.
Well, I know, you know, it's always a challenge, of course, how to elevate a little more, right? I mean, I know you're saying that they're making improvements in the cash prizes, but the goal is to make it bigger and bigger, right? And that's, I guess, the challenge from not just from the athlete's perspective, but from everybody's. I mean, promoters are dealing with just as much, you know, complicated issues by growing the league, you know what I mean? And, you know, right now it's a turning point, I think, right? It has to be a situation where more people are interested in it.
I totally agree. I mean, unfortunately, because there's so many different federations that are kind of taking away from each other, there's always that battle. And if you look at every federation, none of them are really giving as much cash and prizes as the IMBA, PNBA,
right,
yet it still isn't on the same par as the IFBB. So we're, you know, like a tenth, you know, that fraction of what they're giving their, you know, IFBB Olympia champions, where they're getting up to what, $400,000 for their, you know, victories for the first place. It's like our winners of our shows are getting what the fifth place winners for their shows are getting, you know. So, and I don't think that, not even that much. So it's still a challenge. It's still something that we need. We need more sponsors. We need more publicity, advertisement, notoriety to reach that level, even get close to it, you know. And I just don't know what it's going to take, but you know, I think right now what you guys are doing, just showcasing the top natural athletes, that's a definite step in the right direction so that more people can see us and we get the same respect as, you know, the IFBB pros get. But it's still an uphill battle.
Absolutely. You know what's interesting? I was talking to Kai Green, actually. He was competing in natural organizations before he moved to a different one. But he was telling me it's very fragmented. And it's very cutthroat. We're talking about natty organizations, right? Like, obviously, PNBA is, you know, they're the biggest ones, but there's a bunch of other ones, and it's very, very, like, it's almost like, you know, they're trying to, like, bring each other down, you know, and I think that's the problem. If there were at least camaraderie between them, or even, like, you know, allowing people to just work with each other, I feel like it'd be actually more helpful for the overall natural sport, you know, to grow. And I think that's what's happening, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Kai Green is absolutely right. When I was actually starting my bodybuilding career, I knew Kai Green. He was in WNBF, another, you know, good natural federation, which was at the same time, you know, a separate one from the PNBA. He used to be in magazines. He's always the great poser that he is.
Right.
I actually, even within the same show as him, at the NPC Team Universe, where he turned pro at, he probably doesn't even know that because I didn't place, obviously, you know, like him winning the overall. But so when I saw him turn pro and then kind of just increase through the IFBB ranks, you know, he knows what it's like to be on both sides. And he's seen how it's been and probably the reason why he chose the IFBB. I mean, there's plenty of reasons for a lot of the guys that have gone, like Sean Farid, et cetera. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to really choose who you want to, you know, make your family. And I chose to use the IMBA, PMBA just because, you know, I wanted to make sure I stayed firmly affiliated with, you know, natural bodybuilding and drug testing and, making sure my health was another number one thing, not saying anything against Kai, because I still think he's amazing what he does. And I know that he still has a love for natural bodybuilding as well, which is great. You know, lots of respect to him that he respects us as well. But yeah, it's only going to improve if somehow we can all come together, but sometimes it seems like getting farther and farther and farther apart.
Absolutely.
And
well, you know, what we want to do here is that we want to give platform to natural athletes as well. You know what I mean? And just to everybody in general. You know what I mean? But what's happening sometimes is that when you do that, there's a lot of pushback from everybody. You know what I mean? So what's happening is, I'm sure you've seen that before, right? Like, for example, you create, you know, a profile or something, and you try to highlight somebody naturally, and you make a story, and then everybody thinks, well, they're trying to basically put down the unnatural guys, and then there's a lot of back and forth happening. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's inevitable that it's going to happen? Like, ultimately, there will be that back and forth between the natty and I guess whoever's unnatty, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be that pushback from various directions.
I think it is inevitable. The non-natty just doesn't seem like they respect us, or they don't feel like we're true bodybuilding, because I think their eyes are on the extreme. You know, they're looking at what has always been portrayed in the magazines. You know, you're always looking at like flex and muscle development and all those that are looking at the Jay Cutlers and the Ronnies and all that. They want to see that type of physique, you know, and then when they see us, they just look at us. And I think the reason why they went the way they went is because they may have possibly started like natty bodybuilders like us and didn't think that was enough for them, didn't satisfy their physique goals. So when they see us and they see us getting the notoriety, they just still don't see why we're getting it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they just haven't given us a chance. Maybe they haven't gone to a natural bodybuilding show to see like what we look like on stage, sure, the work that we put in and everything else. So it's going to happen. I don't say I embrace it, but I can't get mad at them. And hopefully we can just kind of slowly but surely win them over, because as long as you guys continue to push the natural movement and also them, you know, you're pushing both ends. You still, you know, cover the ICB, you still cover us. It's bodybuilding in general. I also like to see the way, obviously, we're seeing a lot of the negative health effects that are coming from NPC ICB versus natural bodybuilding. And that's hearing about natural bodybuilders passing away from health issues. So maybe that'll slowly but surely turn people around from that arena, come back to where we're at, and slowly win people over. It's just kind of similar to religion, to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of people that are atheists who don't believe, and then they see, you know, a Christian that's, you know, maybe being kind to people and serving, things like that. And sometimes you can win them over, sometimes you can't. And that might just be that long, you know, pole in a tent, but, you know, you just keep doing what you do because it's what you believe in.
I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, so-called enhanced bodybuilders or whatever, they might think that you guys, by you guys, I mean natural bodybuilders, are actually attacking them and almost like rubbing it in their face that you're natural. You know what I mean? I feel like they feel many ways threatened, like, you know, you meaning that the natural guys are on the attack against them. You know what I mean? Do you sense that? They feel threatened?
I do. And once again, it's almost the same thing with religion. And I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because it is true. I think there's got to be a way where everyone has to respect each other. Like, you're not going to be able to bring someone over to a certain lifestyle if you're attacking them. You got to kind of show them in a kind, loving way, you know, is the words I guess I would use, that, you know, you do what you do and we respect it. We're not against it. But we don't condone it. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you shouldn't be doing this because it's your life. But to show that there's another alternative, and that, you know, we're also bodybuilders and we just do it this way, and these are the reasons why. And maybe at that point they can look at it. Because I have a lot of friends that I see in the gym. You know, I'm one of the few natural bodybuilders there, you know, that's, you know, successful. And I treat them with the same kindness that, you know, I treat anybody else, whether they're natural or not. You know, and if they ask me questions about, you know, how do I do it, I'll give them that information without rubbing it in their face that I'm natural. You know, and I think that's probably the best way to do it. But if you're attacking someone, like you said, of course they're going to get defensive. And, you know, that's not going to be a way to win anybody over.
Sure. I have a question. Let's say a bodybuilder was enhanced for a few years or whatever, right? And then he stops and he stops using PEDs, right? And he goes into competing into a natural organization. And then he when he gets tested, obviously he's clean, right? But do you think that person has an edge over the natural guys who are always natty?
I mean, my personal opinion, I do think they have an edge. I think that, you know, especially depending on how long you've been on, you know, PEDs and anything that's going to enhance you, it's not going to go away overnight. You know, you're still going to have something that's going to be in your body. I feel there should be some kind of, you know, time period that you have to be natural before you can step on a natural stage. I still would hope that, you know, it's almost like discrimination, obviously, that someone's going to be, you know, getting off of being, you know, enhanced, and then they want to get into the natural sport, and yet they're not allowed to come in. So I think there's maybe, I mean, this is just comes into my head now after you mentioned this, maybe there needs to be a division for, you know, guys that are off steroids, and they somehow can give some kind of documentation, a five-year natty division or something like that, you know, just so that it gives them an opportunity to get in, and maybe slowly but surely people will stop competing in the NBC, IFBB, and come into the natural federations, and there's a certain category for them. I mean, that's something maybe that can happen. It's going to be pretty tough because I know that it's hard to say, you know, I think they're going to get a lot of backlash too if they do that, but something around that kind of, you know, idea, just so that they have the opportunity to say, hey, I want to live a healthier lifestyle. I'm taking TRT for this reason, or I've been natural for the past 5 years. I like to compete in a show. Have something like that. I don't know. No.
Sure. In your opinion, to your knowledge, right, is when you enhanced versus natty, is a prep for the show from the nutrition standpoint to training different? Because from what I understand, right, if you enhance, you can get away with eating certain foods and like not diet to the extent that the natural guys to diet. Is that true or not true in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think you can get away with a lot more. I feel like, you know, I've even seen, even from some of the Generation Iron earlier movies, where, you know, you would see the guys and they're chugging down burgers and putting extra sauces on their food because they're able to still keep in a lot of calories, and they can use different agents, you know, whether it's clenbuterol or winstrol or anything like that, and it's going to naturally get them lean. So they can still keep their size and not have to worry about, you know, getting rid of certain foods as long as they take that certain drug that's going to get them lean. And that's something that, unfortunately, you know, is dangerous. And that's the reason why it's banned by WADA and why, you know, natural athletes can't take those things. So I feel like they do have an edge. It's the reason why they're so much bigger is because they can still keep in all those calories. I think just because you're taking, you know, steroids and growth hormone, you're not going to have the same kind of size as you're going to see like a big Rami or those other guys, you know, without having that serious diet. I'm not seeing him going down to, you know, 2000 calories or less to get super ripped. I think they can keep in a lot more calories and still, you know, get lean and muscular. So
you're saying it's pretty much impossible to attain that muscularity of a big Rami, for example, in a natural division. You think it's just, there's absolutely no way. And to be that shredded, I'm talking about shredded, not just big.
Physically impossible. I mean, you can definitely tell a difference between those guys. I mean, even someone, when I competed against Rob Terry, you know, and he's one of the biggest natural bodybuilders I've ever seen and competed against, you know, and you can still tell that he's natural because of the fact that he had to diet down the way he did to get the kind of condition. He couldn't stay the size that he is in the off season, you know, to get down to the lean weight that he was to step on stage against myself and Siobhan Cunningham and the rest of those guys. But you compare him even to a big Rami, you know, there's still no comparison. You know, big Rami's just a beast, or a Phil Heath or any of those guys. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Do you think, I mean, there's no way to go around it, right? I mean, I guess the fans of bodybuilding in general, they want to see the freak show, right? Or the certain freak aspect of it. Do you think the natural, like the natty guys can deliver some of that, you know, in a certain aspect when you go to the show, for example? Maybe not the size factor, but at least you can still do an insane conditioning, right? To the point where it's very, you know, it's still, you still can get that if you don't put 100% work into it, you know what I mean?
I agree. I think the conditioning wise, there are a lot of natural bodybuilders that can be equal to the enhanced guys. The only difference would definitely be the size. I've seen, I've gone to the, you know, IFBB Olympia many times in Vegas. And of course, not only do I compete, but I've also seen many, you know, natural shows. And I'm amazed at some of the competitors I see that the conditioning to. And it's very impressive. So you can see that same guy in person, and that person could be, you know, 5'9", 190. But when you see them on stage, they look like an incredible beast. And it's still impressive to see. So I just feel like with that, plus the performances, the posing, you can really enjoy a show of any size within the natural bodybuilding realm, you know, the same way as you would in a TV show.
When it comes to macros, right, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of pro bodybuilders, they eat like, if you read some of the stuff that's out there, right, they eat like 7,000 calories, you know, 5,000 calories, depending on obviously who they are, you know, but it's like insane amount of calories. For natty guys, right, in the open division, what's the typical macro like for a bodybuilder, you know, prepping either off season or on season, but like, you know, getting ready for a show, for example?
Right. So I prep a lot of athletes. I've even prepped, like I was mentioning, Derek Joe, who's a classic physique guy. Mm-hmm. I prepped him and he got up to, you know, for him, his highest weight. So this is putting things in perspective. Mm-hmm. He's 5'7" and he got up to 200 pounds for the first time in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think he's about 36 years old. So he's going to start dieting down. And when he got to the 200 pounds, I had to put him to 4,200 calories. Oh, wow. That's his off weight. Yes, that's the only way he can get up to that weight. It's not bad, yes. And he was able to take it all in, you know. And he added, you know, some of it was plant-based foods, and some of it was obviously, you know, just hardcore meat. But as we diet him down, when he gets ready to step on stage, his calories are going to be at the 2,500 range at the highest and maybe even a little bit lower. And that's just typical for most guys his size or open division or top pros. And he's only going to be weighing in on stage, hopefully this time around 170. So that's a lot of weight to lose, and that's a lot of calories to subtract, but that's normal for natural bodybuilders.
What did you take on training? Do you like lighter weight but more volume, or the other way around? More weight, less volume, especially when you're trying to get, you know, gains?
For me, I love heavy weight, but I'm older now, you know. So when I was younger, I believe that I built a lot of muscle mass on my small frame, really from heavy weight. I had a great partner, especially I was in the military. So we were a bunch of meatheads just trying to lift the gym and, you know, squatting some decent weight. You know, I got up to close to 500 pound squats, wow. You know, 450 deadlift, things like that. And so, yeah, this is natural. And I was definitely way bigger then, you know, but even at that time, I never got over 210 pounds. And I was definitely lifting heavier, doing a lot of drop sets. I believe drop sets and supersets and things like that are what's really going to help you grow, because you can't just, you know, powerlift the entire time and have a muscular bodybuilding type physique. You'll be strong, but you won't have the same kind of muscularity as you would on, you know, some of the bodybuilders. So when I was younger, that was mainly my training, always trying to hit a PR, always trying to, you know, get this heavy squat for, you know, 3 reps, same thing with deadlifts. And then I'd kind of go to lighter weight and rep out. And that really helped me build a lot of muscle. And as I got older and I had more injuries and pain, which I've listened to a lot of the bodybuilders now who have longevity in the sport, you know, once you get older, you can't do those things. Even the strongest natural bodybuilders I've ever seen, the Doug Millers, you know, there's a whole bunch of others that are out there that were able to lift tonnage. And when they got older, they said, look, I can't do it anymore. You know, I drop it down and do a lot of drop sets, a lot of supersets, lighter weight. But you're not going to go lighter weight to where you're doing 20, 25 reps. It's more staying in that 10 to 12 range at the most. And sometimes if you feel good, try to do something a little strong, but don't do it on a regular basis. You know.
So what's next for you, man? What shows are you going to – obviously, you have your show that you're promoting coming up this month. And then what's going on in your career as far as a competitor? Are you still going to compete this year?
I'm still going to compete. You know, now that I have the multimedia contract, you know, with you guys and Ironman and everything else, I have to stay really relevant and in the sport. And it's a lot different. You know, just like we said, I'm a Christian man. If I were going to stop now, I'd be totally happy. I really had to pray about it and ask my wife if it's okay with her for me to continue doing this. Because, you know, it could be a selfish sport, and I don't want to focus really on myself. I'd rather be doing something for the church, serving, things like that. But she knows this is my passion. She knows that people still reach out to me. And so me being involved in a sport, I'm using that as just, you know, like I said, another way of just being able to be an outreach ambassador for the sport more than anything else. So I will be competing. I'm going to be doing the Natural Universe in Tampa. That's in September, first week of September. I'm going to do another show that's going to be in Jersey. I think a few weeks after that. And of course, I'll be back to the Natural Olympia.
Are you doing a Mr. America again?
I don't think I'll do it this year, but if the opportunity comes around in the next couple of years, I definitely enjoy the show. I enjoy Mark Torriella. He's a great guy. We talk all the time. We talk about natural bodybuilding and the, you know, the path it's going on, and I love what he's doing for the sport as well. So if the opportunity does come by, I don't think this is, you know, last year was the last time. I'd love to come back and do better. Like I said, I want to be a better version of myself and give, you know, what people are used to be looking like and being like. I'm trying to portray that if I can, if at all possible. And I think I can. I think this year I'm going to look a lot better because I'm starting my prep actually this month. I'm trying to start nice and slow to give myself time because that's what I did in the past. Last year was totally, I did everything opposite from what I normally do, trying to follow, you know, other people's advice, and it just didn't work out for me. And, you know, I'm going back to the old school ways that I did things before, and hopefully that brings back the old look I had as well from four. So we'll see what happens. But Mr. America in the future, I can see it happening.
Phil, thank you so much, man. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks, Vlad. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Visit GenerationIron.com for even more GI-exclusive content on all things bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.